the last presentation of the day. I'm going to be looking at three specific aspects of the title here. The first one is focused on elements that really influence the need for public-private partnership in agriculture biotechnology, the element that helps to constitute these partnerships, and some of the issues and challenges that we face in those kind of frameworks there. Primarily, you know, ABSP2 is the single largest public-private partnership in the world for agriculture biotechnology development, because it brings together almost 30 partners globally from different parts of the world, Africa, Asia, and the OECD countries. So that makes it the single largest public-private partnership anyone can think of for agriculture biotechnology, and therefore it's very significant to really understand what drives this framework there. The fundamental driver is to address food security, as no single country can today all by itself address the challenge of food security and nutritional security. And therefore, we need to look at, you know, leveraging biotechnology to deliver effective and efficient solutions that are not otherwise addressed by other technology means, by partnering, you know, and those partnerships can be twofold. Horizontally, across the countries, because as I said, no single country can address the problem of food security all by themselves, and vertically with partners from public and private sector who complement each other in many ways there. The innovation drivers for affordable solutions in agriculture really cuts across boundaries of public and private entities there. They're not limited by boundaries of public and private entities. I'm going to predominantly look at some of the models derived from the South Asian, Southeast Asian partnerships, the products that we talked about from the morning. And predominantly, it's also a big drive in catalyzing this south-to-south partnership framework with the public and private sector engaged in helping each other. And of course, the countries in the southern region working with OECD countries really to partner with in these product development efforts. I talked about elements that are really catalyzing elements to look at public-private partnership, and those are actually, you know, important elements for us to look at. Let's look at them one by one. The first is the access to biomaterials and technologies. Technology access is really getting a limiting factor in the world of biotechnology, as every gene of interest gets protected practically. And they don't lie in one entity as such. It gets so fragmented across private sector, across public sector. And therefore, unlocking the intellectual potential, you know, by combining intellectual property, it becomes the first driving factor there. When you unlock intellectual property limitations, then responsible use of technology comes in. And therefore, partnering collaboratively becomes essential there. When you look at partnerships, you also prepare institutions on the supply side as well as the recipient side to make them responsible providers and recipients in this process there. And these technologies that are provided are not ready to be taken forward as it is and adopted in many countries. You need to translate them for relevance in those countries there. And therefore, the translational research becomes a critical element, and that's what drives the partnership, you know, collaborating with each other in this translational research process. The third element is the affordability factor. When you consolidate technologies and apply it in different country contexts, it's essential that you find solutions that are affordable to small farmers there. And therefore, the focus becomes in making these technologies really reach to small farmers there with the least of cost elements that gets into a recurring cost framework there. And that's an essential element of driver for these public partnerships there. Now, when you look at technology access for public good, we essentially get into a process of pooling available technologies through a structured licensing process. So every public partner receiving technology has freedom to engage in dissemination of technology. That's an essential factor there. And this is done through a structured licensing process we go through the freedom to operate analysis of intellectual assets that are owned by these donors, and then make them available through the process of licensing to recipients there. Now, these are meant for very specific intended deployment there. When you license technologies to recipients, the purpose is obvious, clear, well stated in these documents. And therefore, they are meant for products which are target products for us. They're meant for dissemination in a particular fashion to make the product affordable and reachable to small farmers there. So these are essential elements of this technology transfer process. Now, we looked at number of partnerships from the morning. In case of potato project, as you have seen, the technology donors are two very well reputed institutions, one from public sector and the other one from private sector. So you're converging, obviously, technologies from two sources there. And then the product developers are manifold, both in the public system as well as private system across the countries there. And we have seen this morning how they transfer data, how they transfer biomaterials across the partnership structures to make seamlessly the work, cost effectively carried out all through the development process there. And then you also pull funding partners essentially, not to put the stress too much on a single partner. You're bringing in national partners, you're bringing in USAID, you're bringing in private partners, pooling the resources together. And in the end for product delivery, again, you're having two modes of product delivery, the public system delivering seeds to farmers and the private system delivering seeds to farmers. In most developing regions, the public sector is still engaging in seed delivery for small farmers there because there is subsidized seed delivery system. There's also lack of private system penetrating every small village, and therefore there's a complementary public seed delivery system that really, is essential for us to support as well. In case of eggplant, the primary technology donor is a private entity. But then the technology is, adapted by public partners. The whole process of developing dossier, as you have seen this morning, the public partners contributed a number of strategies, including insect resistance management strategy there, field validation strategy. So there is a tremendous contribution of interdisciplinary, skills that have gone in from public partners as well in this development process. The resources are pooled again from several national governments. We talked about heavy leveraging by the governments in the Asian region, by AID, as well as the private partner there. The product delivery also will be in the same way, having two parts of public and private sector delivering seeds to the farmers there. It's also true for the drought tolerance rice partnerships that we have, where the technology itself is co-developed by a private entity, Green Gene, and the Cornell University as such. So there is a public-private partnership in very development process itself. So these are typically, models that we feel will drive dissemination of technology across products in biotech arena. And this is not different from what the information technology industry has adopted today. If you look at the Intel Inside model, there are not awfully lot of companies who invest in new chip technology. So the gene discovery is going to be limited to few entities in the world. Upstream, research limited to large and very innovative small enterprises in the private sector, some of the path-breaking technologies from universities that are well-funded, having interdisciplinary skill sets in them. So the gene providers will be limited. But those who license it, adopt it in products, just as the electronics industry licenses the Intel chip, that's the kind of model that's clearly evolving there. And in this context, I think there'll be a lot more private-public partnerships that will drive product development efforts in biotech arena. The second element that drives the public-private partnership is the research infrastructure. We have seen from the morning, including Uganda, that when countries start the process of developing biotech products, they're very low on infrastructure. So you need to pool infrastructure, share infrastructure, and thereby, condense time, ensure speed in the whole delivery process, in the development process, by providing access to infrastructure to many partners there. So in case of BT eggplant, for example, when we conceived this project in 2004, most public sector enterprises did not even have a confined greenhouse with them. In countries like Bangladesh, even in India, one or two public partners did not have greenhouses with them. So we had to take, the material to Mahiko and do backcross breeding, bring back the seeds for the public partners to advance them further. We saved literally a year in that process there. So there are a number of areas where One can accelerate the project progress by judicious use of resources pooled by way of research infrastructure. Human capacity is the third important element. You know, as we talked about, the biotech crop development is highly interdisciplinary in nature. Most countries are nascent in their own resources capacity, and therefore it's essential that we really have private sector interact and work with public sector in complementary areas where they have competency there. If you look at the potato project, we have very judiciously, you know, used a three-tier approach. You know, participants coming to U.S. to really look at, you know, strategic framework for product development, working together on models that will help us to accelerate the project progress. But then we have used India, its centers in India, effectively for partners to get, you know, core skills in terms of development of the product itself. And then we have moved scientists to different countries for them to collaboratively work in monitoring the product development effort. So you're looking at different ways by which, you know, convergence of human competency can accelerate the project progress clearly. The fourth element is the capacity building for product validation. This is an important element there because, you know, you're stressing tremendous amount of resources, investing tremendous amount of resources in product validation in, you know, in case of biotech crops. And when you do that, it's essential that the extensive assessment work carried out, you know, are consistent with certain protocols that are co-developed or co-created by the partners, complying to different country regulations there. And you pool all the scientific resources that are needed to do the validation process there. You know, you need agronomists, you need, you know, pathologists, entomologists, food safety specialists, economists, statisticians, a whole range of expertise that's needed for validation. No single institution has it today, truly speaking. Even in the private sector, just limited to the top two or three. So when you're talking about a compelling need for public-private partnership, just the sheer breadth of expertise needed itself forces private sector to come to public sector and public sector to go to private sector there. We talked about, you know, product validation process in the morning. So all of them have this approach where we've pooled human resources to effectively engage in accelerated product validation process. Sharing of regulatory dossier is the fifth driving element. You know, we talked about a massive investment that goes into developing the dossier. And these are not really, you know, very, very economically relevant for small acreage crops. A crop like BT brinjal, where you have not seen each country having millions of hectares, you're not going to, in isolation, develop a dossier and ever justify economic investment in this kind of crop. So when you're going to pool resources, you know, get the dossier, you know, that every country can adopt for a common event, I think you are looking at, you know, economic advantage being driven to small crops and small acreages in countries which can really make it affordable for the small farmers there. So the driver of affordability factor is just possible by sheer cooperative process and dossier development. And the information that you share across the countries in the regulatory framework also builds the bondage of the regional cooperation in this process there. The sixth element is product dissemination mechanism. You know, it's wonderful to get a great product, but if you can't reach the small farmer in remote villages of India or Bangladesh or Philippines or Indonesia, you know, you're going to have completely your objectives unfulfilled. So it's essential that, you know, the mechanisms available both in the public system and private system are very well leveraged to reach the small farmers as much as we can. And they both have complementary seed dissemination systems. Sometimes the public sector is very good in bulk seed production, the foundation seed factor. The private sector is great in, you know, dissemination process. And extension services, you know, in many countries, just not there in the private system yet. Public system is stronger there. It's vice versa in other countries. So you need to combine these forces to ensure very successful product dissemination. So typically, you know, the public research brings interdisciplinary strength, and the private sector brings the acceleration factor. You know, when you combine these two, you have very smart solutions reaching farmers in a very cost-effective manner. You're also combining, you know, there are many times argument about divergent objectives of public and private sector. If you look at it, you know, the public sector are engaged in public good, but their goal is to take technologies for commercialization clearly. And they want to reward, retain, and recruit good researchers to engage in this process there. And the whole objective is to ensure economic growth within the national context and beyond that in the global context. The private sector obviously looks at return on investment of the capital, but their goal is also to reach technologies to markets there. So I think dissemination of technologies, translating technologies for affordable solutions is a common goal for both. And while the private sector wants to protect intellectual property, the public sector wants to disseminate it, you know, make sure that the intellectual assets creator reaches the beneficiary eventually. So I think there's a clear mandate that really runs across both these elements, the public and private sector, to reach products to markets in an affordable manner, to ensure that, you know, the benefit of technology flows through, and how do we leverage this common objective? It's only by creating a kind of a partnership that's at three stages, the discovery stage, the translation stage, and the dissemination stage there. Now, since it's clear that they don't compromise on objectives, the way is to take that objective across the nations. You know, you can always work with public-private partnership within each country, but when you stretch it across the nations, make it transnational, then the benefit is a lot more, you know, accelerated as well. So in case of cross-country partnership, there are, however, certain challenges which we need to really understand. As you look at easier process of creating public-private partnership within each country, when you look across, when you look at transnational partnerships, you need to respect each country's regulatory structure. There are obviously sovereign factors that come in there. Each country has their own geopolitical relationships. There are territorial definitions clearly. And therefore, these are elements that go into making a structured partnership, complying with these cross-border requirements there. And there are also conventions on biodiversity. Some countries are members to that. Some are not, really speaking. Some have enforcement, which is, you know, very stringent. Some do not have enforcement. They encourage free movement of biomaterial. Some actually encourage biomaterial by structured process of approvals there. So there are, again, you know, limitations of some of the legislations which one has to comply with. And therefore, these global public-private partnerships differ from a national-level partnership as such. I think ABSP2's success is in making these partnerships transnational and thereby making solutions affordable for each of the country to small farmers in their own way. Now, a lot of it is accomplished by what we call as technology transfer facilitation process. You know, you need a clear, you know, element of partnerships that really brings those six elements we talked about and incorporates them into a structured framework for partners to be bound by certain rules and frameworks for them. And that's important to respect intellectual assets that are really pooled into this partnership process. It's important also to ensure organizational and cultural integrity when the partners engage in co-creation of these assets. And it's also important to strategically address a common goal by all the partners there. And therefore, role of technology facilitators or a project management team is so critical there to make it goal-oriented, to ensure speed and acceleration in execution there. Now, to bring partners to a common goal is an easier process. But to adapt common processes across country are more complex there. We have seen in the morning how countries differ in terms of regulatory framework, and therefore, you know, there are disparities in the level of understanding of science in the countries that we work with. There are disparities on human capacity. There are disparities in the aggressiveness of those who are opposed to the GM technologies. So the public-private institutions tend to have a kind of success rate that differs based on the country dynamics that we encounter in these kind of partnerships. And we need to really look at and customize some of the strategies to take care of those country dynamics there. The major problem across the countries we see is that the great role of public partners is kind of marginalized when the anti-is bring forth the positive role of private sector in a very negative way. And that really limits the benefit of public-private partnership as perceived by an outsider as such. So it's important that countries recognize the public sector contribution, bring to the fore, and acknowledge it in every forum so that, you know, the public perception about these partnership engagements are positive there. I mean, in case of BT Eggplant, it's been alleged in many cases that Monsanto is the beneficiary, because Monsanto had no interest at all whatsoever manner in ever delivering a BT Eggplant seed in any country for that matter. But that vitiates and, you know, kind of limits the great contribution put in by public partners in these countries there. So to conclude, I would say that, you know, we need a very strong element of binding factor between public and private sector. And that can only be done by investors recognizing the benefit of such partnership. But just not the donors, but every national partner need to understand that this is a great contribution that they are going to really derive from these kind of partnerships. There's a need for them to continue to nurture it. There's a need for them to continue to encourage it, clearly. And when we look at pooling of people, resources, infrastructure, even the capacity really goes manifold. There's no other way by which you can reach small farmer with affordable solutions these days unless you look at, you know, models where you pool in technologies under a public-private partnership framework. And this exactly helps to shrink the timeline. Each country has exactly worked on their own in isolation. They would have taken three times as such to come this far in case of BT Eggplant or potato for that matter. And many of them would not even reach the first milestone for that matter. So if you need to accelerate shrink time, these partnerships are essential there. And from a cost perspective, this is the only way to multiply the benefit of biotechnology. If you have reached every crop that contributes to food security in the world, this is just the only way for you to make sure that technology flows through these crops and reaches the small farmers. Thank you very much.